Well, I don't know how your day is going, but here on Post Show Recaps, we're having the worst day ever. That's right, it's worst day ever. The 24 Season 2 Recap Podcast. Hello, everybody. I am Josh Wigler, coming to you to talk about episodes 21 and 22 of Season 2 of 24.
Wow.
And I'm joined here by Emily Fox. Emily, do you have his gun? He grabbed that? Did you grab that?
Listen.
Hey, remember how last week?
Yeah.
On the television show 24.
Oh, we're talking about that from last week.
We're
okay.
Talking about last week's program 24.
Program.
Where Kim Bauer was completely missing from the 2 hours of TV.
And we didn't talk about
her. We didn't even talk about her.
And
I think she came up once in passing.
Yeah. And then later on in
the
night.
It's like one of those things where like, later on in the night we texted. We're like, we didn't talk about Kim. At all.
We texted about that?
Yes. We were texting a little bit.
In our apartment.
Yes. No, because I wasn't home. I was off in Cincinnati.
That's right.
We're
okay.
Back together, folks. Just in case anyone was curious. We're in the same room.
Sometimes we like to take a break.
Sometimes the timbre is a little off because I pause and I'm like, is he going to keep going?
You mean the timbre?
The timbre is what I meant. It is absolutely.
Sometimes the timbre is a little off, though. Like a few logs rolled away.
It is.
A la next.
And so I was away and we were texting and I said, we didn't even talk about Kim. The fact that Kim isn't even in the episode. And we're like, oh, that's right. It was like, it was one of those things where like, you know, when you need like the vacation from your vacation, it was like kind of that where it's like, man, I needed a vacation. I didn't know how tired I was. I couldn't talk about Kim.
I've never been so tired in my life.
And then we get to this week's doubleheader here on Worst Day Ever.
It's like I summoned her back in all of the worst ways where I was like, you know what? Let's circle back to that first plot that really, really was terrible.
Yeah. And still at the very least, Emily, like in terms of like actual screen time, relatively minimal, but in terms of what we get, ridiculous. Absolutely absurd. The coup de grace.
It's like if someone was like, you know what? This needs a little more salt. And you go to like salt it.
Yeah, and
drop
the whole
shaker
thing. Yes.
Falls apart. Yes. And salt just goes
Kim Bauer is the salt shaker here that closes out episode 22 of season 2
of 24.
We're
not even talking about that yet.
We're not even talking about that yet. We've got two episodes. That's how we've been doing it for the last little while. We are taking down season 2 of 24's Endgame, two episodes at a time.
Double dose.
After this week's podcast, Emily, we'll be up to what's for us going to be finale week. We're
going
to talk about season 2 episodes 23 and 24 of season 2 of 24. And I know in the past we'd be like, and then that's it. And then we're not going to do any more 24. And then we have like a season 2 of 24 podcast. Who knows what could happen sometime down the line? No imminent plans to be going into season 3. So there
wow,
is.
Wow, you're leaving it open like that.
No,
man.
I'm leaving. I mean, I guess like that's somewhat open to some degree, but it is like a guarantee of like, we're not coming back anytime soon. We're doing these final episodes of season 2, and that's us on 24 for the next little while, ending roughly 1 year after we launched Worst Day Ever and 2 years after we started recording Worst Day Ever, Emily. So I think.
What a year it's been.
It's been a delightful year, and there's still a lot of tremendous treasure ahead in 24 that I sincerely hope that we are able to get to at some point down the line, but we'll definitely need an extended break in the meantime. And in that meantime, season 2 is going out serving looks. Season 2 of 24 is going out with David Palmer's tribal council where he gets idled out of the game.
Oh my god.
Season 2 of 24,
I hate it. It made me so mad.
Season 2 of 24 is going out with secret endgame villain Sherry Palmer flirting with this weird hacker dude who
but
stabs
she's not
her
even
in the
flirting
tummy.
She's just trying to be like manipulative and he takes it as she likes
him. She likes
him.
Me, right? So weird. We're dealing with that.
Weird. Hate it. Toxic masculinity.
We're dealing with Tony Almeida getting fired from his job. 6 hours after he started it?
I wish I had seen him like angrily throw a crutch.
How dare he?
Yeah, like,
doesn't he know how hard
but it's like really
this?
Quiet.
And in retaliation for getting fired, he's going to then go and knock his boss out.
Quite literally.
Drug him, knock him unconscious.
Chloroform him?
So that's what's happening in these final 2 hours of 24. Oh, yeah. And also, Jack Bauer guides his daughter through shooting a man over the telephone.
Well, he basically said what all of us have been saying to her
just
this
end
entire
it.
Situation.
Just end it.
Yeah.
And so it's in a pretty precarious spot. Things are looking bad for David.
things are looking not great for Mike. Not that we care anymore.
No, I was just going to say, why are we giving Mike any like Mike time?
That's a pretty good. Pretty good over there, Em. I liked that quite a bit.
Mm. I liked that quite a bit.
You know, it's not looking great for Jack because this guy he needs to take in has just like run through some sort of apartment tunnel. You know, this is a banner moment for
he Shawshanked his way out of that situation.
Tunnel homes here on Post Show Recaps in the past week. There was a big prominent tunnel in Better Call Saul.
Yeah,
recently.
He had to Andy Dufresne it.
He did. He definitely Dufresne'd it. I don't know how long the river of whatever is, but he's going through it, and Jack Bauer has to deal with that. He's like, I'm just so tired. Don't you guys know I died the other hour? Like, can't I just take a nap? And so there's a lot going on here as we're getting through to the end. And yet, Emily, I know that some of this is just putting you to sleep.
I kind of felt like episode 21 was a little slow.
This is going to be upsetting to some people who I think that the trial of David Palmer is probably considered a top tier episode of certainly early 24.
I think
it's notable.
I think the annoying thing about it is that it's very clear that enough votes are cast in hit like towards, you know, unseating him, right?
Yes.
And no amount of information is going to save him.
You just feel like it's a foregone conclusion.
Right.
Watching
so
it.
I'm just sitting there. It's almost like a real rubbernecking situation. And
I
obviously for you, you know what the outcome is.
Yes.
But for me, I was just like, oh, this is like all of the things that I think in another TV series I would probably care about. But for this particular
show. It's
David
Palmer's presidency.
No, I
care?
Love David Palmer. Come don't
on.
Get me wrong.
Yeah.
But for this, you know, it's minute to minute and you're supposed to feel like you're really in it. And it just
It drags.
It drags and it's really hard.
I suspect we'll yada
I'm
yada
someone,
through much of
it. Well, yeah. But I'm someone also who's like, no, I want the truth to come out. I want him to be saved.
Yes.
And like the fact that like everyone's just like such a bad guy. Like, everyone's such a bad guy.
Everyone's such a bad guy. But some next-level Dennis Haysbert acting
he's
here
excellent.
As President
he's
Palmer.
Incredible. And, like, you're obviously rooting for him, and you want it to go well, but it's not going to go well, so you're just sitting there for the inevitable, and it's tough.
I think the David Palmer in the trial of David Palmer is my favorite David Palmer.
Yeah,
because
he's like, do I look like I'm stammering?
Can you tell me that I'm disabled?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, he is he's really going for it, and just, like, the indignation that he has over all of these... treacherous cabinet members, like, you're coming after me, really?
Yeah,
really.
But it's just exhausting.
After the day I've had,
and it's so you know, I think a lot of it obviously mirrors not necessarily specific political moments for us in real life.
Yeah,
but I think there's a lot of gaslighting that's happening here. A lot of people that are, you know, flipping the switch, saying like, "Oh, I didn't tell you that," or "I didn't do this," or I'm plausible deniability.
There are
kind
ways
of stuff.
Which this is like a triggering episode of 24.
Yeah, where
sure.
I'm just like, "Oh, cool. So this happens all the time in real life.
Yep.
Why do I want to watch it? Sort of in
dramatized
this?
In real time.
Yeah.
Well,
it's tough.
It
it's
is
hard.
Tough.
I don't
it is
like
tough.
It. It makes me icky.
I know it does. But we got to talk about it. So we're going from 4 a.m. all the way through 6 a.m. in this
also, I'm
podcast.
So tired for them. I'm so tired for them.
They're all exhausted. Also, unfair advantage to the people in Washington, D.C., because it's like at the time that this trial begins, it's like 7 a.m. for them. They have donut and coffee places open at that hour. We're working in like the Los Angeles side of things for David Palmer. Like, he's probably eating like a Twix from the vending machine. So just the things that they're working with on the East Coast versus the West Coast in this battle, not particularly fair to the West Coast at 4 a.m. is my hot take, I suppose.
The really hard thing about all of this is the fact that obviously they need to like tie up a lot of plot lines.
Correct.
And it just feels like we pushed a little too hard on some of them.
Some of them have been stretched.
To make things like really intense.
Yeah, 24 needing to be 24 episodes is a problem. That's the end of the sentence.
Yeah, because sometimes...
It can be. It can
be. I mean,
be. Sometimes
I've brought this up before.
Fun.
Sometimes you have a boring hour in your day.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to go pee and, like, get a snack.
Eat, like,
and, like, you know,
to the
chat
point.
It up with somebody that doesn't really matter in terms of the long haul.
They know that they're like, we don't have enough for Kim. She needs to be gone for two episodes. And then they come back and this is what they've got for Kim. In the first of these two episodes, she's just going to have a scene where she's like, I guess I should call my dad. Just check in. Let everyone know I'm
still
on the show.
Do you know what's maddening, though? I would respect it more if they were like, You know what? Kim slept in her cell for 2 hours.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
Sometimes,
like, you know, David needs to sleep.
Sometimes they will.
Maybe
do
we
things
don't do that
like this, but
like just
unfortunately
assuming
rare
that everyone's up.
Yes.
The
yes
whole time.
Yes. No one sleeps. No
listen,
one sleeps. Justice doesn't
not
sleep.
Not a healthy workplace.
All right, let's get into it. Let's
okay,
go
I'm sorry
to 4 a.m. Emily, and when we begin the episode, we're at Kate Warner's house. And Ron Swanson and Colonel Carrillo from Narcos are locked in a bathroom together. And Jack's like, just open the door. I'm not going to kill you. Like, you killed my friend. It's like, that guy sucked. And he's going to be really mean to Walter White in a couple of years. And so he's like, give me the chip. I need the chip. If you don't give me the chip, I'm going to storm the gates and I'm going to take it down. And I really would love it. I will let you live. I will let you leave. Just give me the thing. There's a scuffle.
And
Ron
these
Swanson
are like
doesn't
extraordinarily
agree
reasonable terms, I think, too.
Yeah, but they're freaked out and they're terrible. So these two idiots get into a fight with each other and Jack bursts in the door. But Ron Swanson dropped the chip. So Jack is like, okay, well, let's just plug this in and see if Michelle Dessler can't
but
fix
meanwhile
it.
But meanwhile, he's like, also, we got to tie these
yeah
guys.
He tells Kate, he says, get some wire, Kate, so I can tie them up. And Kate's like, I'm not sure if we have wire. But they might.
Didn't the
it's
police
possible
show up to take them away? Did we see that?
They're gone. Yeah. They've been arrested for
because,
sure.
Because, like, Kate's taking a bubble bath later. Can you imagine if she was like, you know what? They're still here.
No.
They're in the corner.
No. At that point, she's excused everyone, which I have thoughts about as we go deeper into the show.
I do, too.
So
actually
let's go to David Palmer, where he's just sitting. And he's like, I can't get a hold of the vice president still. And also, it seems like our fighter jets are in a holding pattern. And Mike, isn't that a problem? Because I recalled the fighter jets.
And
Mike
like,
goes, yeah. David,
come into this other room with me.
David, could you come with me? And David says, is that an order, Mike? It says, oh, no. It's not an order, but it is pretty important. There's a very critical Zoom meeting happening just down the hall. Can't I just Zoom in from here? Well, some years from now, yes. But for the sake of a television show, no, I would appreciate if you came with me to the conference room. And so Mike will tell David, because David's like, I'm not going anywhere until you tell me what's going on. I'm the president of the United States. Mike says, that's true for
not
now.
For long.
For now. So some people would like it if you weren't the president of the United States anymore, and they're holding a big meeting about it. Would you like to come and check that out? And David says, yeah, I actually would like to be in the room for that. And so he goes in, and he's confronting this. He's in this long conference room that's going to have the laptop that's going to be very important to Mike, as he has to count the ballots later on in the episode. There's just like all the, you know, there's the monitor.
It's
all
so important.
It's so
those
great
two buttons that are yes and no.
Iconic, legendary, early 2000s. What a
so
time!
Good.
What a time!
It's so good.
So many things are so similar, and so many things are not. Yeah. And so David is like, oh, Jim, now I see why it's so hard talking to you today. You've been busy. He's like, well, sorry about the subterfuge, David. And David says, don't you say sorry to me unless you mean it. And the vice president's like, yeah, so we're invoking the 25th Amendment. This is a thing that we can do if we think that you're sick or incapable or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And screw you. If the rest of the cabinet votes with me, I'm the president. You're not anymore. Nanny, nanny, poo, poo.
Wow.
And David Palmer is like, well, that's childish.
And I don't respect it.
And he says, this is a thing that's in place in case I'm ill or incapacitated.
And they're like, well, the language doesn't really
Yeah, the vice president
discern
says, well, I talked to the attorney general and he says it's not that.
And he's an attorney.
And he's an attorney and I think that that's the person who I trust. And he says, listen, I think that you're not a bad guy, Vice President Prescott says to President Palmer. He says, but I do think you're stressed.
I'm so mad. I'm incensed by all of this.
I think you're stressed. I think it's been a day, and I think you're having a lot of feelings about
and
it.
And it's like, yeah, of course I'm having a lot of feelings. Would you have handled it any differently?
And I think that we're on the cusp of war, David, and you don't want to face the reality of that, and we have to make some choices. Otherwise, tens of thousands of Americans are going to die and if we don't do this in the next 2 hours. So yeah, we're going to have to kick you out of the Oval Office. And he says, no, this meeting is over. This meeting is over. And Prescott says, listen, you could leave if you want, but we're voting.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't go in your favor, you might want to be here to vouch for yourself. This is where Dennis Haysbert steps up and gives a great David Palmer-ism. He just steps like, listen to me. Take a good look. Do I seem scared? Am I breaking into a nervous sweat? Am I babbling? Am I at a loss for words? Is my voice shaking? Can any one of you really look me in the eye and tell me I'm disabled? And everyone's like, I think maybe we shouldn't have summoned each other to this vote.
I had recorded you just reenacting that.
It's on the podcast, so
Josh,
that's good news.
Do you ever like think that maybe like your drama minor went to good use?
Yeah. I think each and every week, perhaps sometimes daily, hourly, for the patrons and listeners of Post Show Recaps, that drama minor has paid off in spades. Anyway, so the Secretary of State is going to be a real person of interest. He's just this old guy on an airplane the TV. And he's like, well, now listen, David, I love you a lot. No one in this virtual room likes you more than I do. But listen, these are huge allegations, and I think we should just process it out. I'll vote for you. Don't worry. Like, I'm a safe vote for you. And David Palmer's like, oh, that's famous. Famous last words. Palmer's going to agree to go through with this on one condition, is if he has a leg to stand on here, it seems, that if he wins the vote, Prescott, the vice president, steps down immediately. So the vice president is like, I will. That's fine, because I think I've got the votes and I'm going to win. And so it's real tribal council stuff. I know you're not a huge Survivor person, Emily, but this is sort of like 24's big Survivor episode, I would say. That's how I feel about it. And the Secretary of State's like, okay, well, let's all take a couple minutes to regroup, to compose ourselves for the debate that we have coming up. And David says, let's not mince words. It's not a debate. This is the trial of David Palmer.
Unbelievable.
And it's like, whoa, he said the name of the episode. It's not called that. I wish it was.
I was just going to say, I feel like that's not what it's
called. I believe the episode is just called 4 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. All right. So at CTU, Tony is talking to Chappelle, as he's going to many times.
Chappelle's being a real CTU.
Yeah. He's eventually going to have to like stop speaking and start acting. Is how Tony's going to have to handle this. He's say, hey, Ryan. And Ryan's like, doop a doop a doop. Ryan, over here. Who's saying that? It's me, Tony. Oh, hey. You scared me a little bit. He says, well, what's going on? The military operation was called off 2 hours ago. Why didn't you tell me that? Ryan's like, well, I kind of think that we're going to go through with it. Tony's like, what do you mean? Why would the president reverse course twice? He's like, because he's... By the end of the episode, it's going to be a different president. But don't tell anyone I told you that. Ryan Chappelle seems to be clued in more than David Palmer was about any of this.
Well, yeah. That's how you coup.
I guess that they did a pretty good job cooing. I guess that they did a pretty good coup here, to be fair.
I'm upset. I'm so upset. Can you guys feel like me seething?
Yeah, you're not thrilled about any of it. Jack Bauer calls CTU, and he's phoning in for the first time in a little while. He's like, yeah, I was attacked. I got captured. They killed me. I'm back. Yusuf's dead, unfortunately. But if not for Yusuf, we wouldn't have this audio chip, and now we've got it. But it's damaged, and don't ask why. There is a Ron Swanson role here that was no good.
But, like, how did it get damaged? Do we think Ron just,
dropped it?
That's
what he says.
What it is?
He says, I dropped it.
Rather than it being yanked out of a physical body?
Yeah.
Like, maybe it was, like, sewn in weird and shoved into flesh and then pulled out of flesh. And maybe that was a little intense.
Getting yanked out of a physical body is pretty bad.
Yeah, rather than falling onto, a little tiled bathroom floor from 3 feet.
Yeah, definitely not the best. Definitely not the best. That might have been worse. It just might be that the chip has been damaged for days, even just like decomposing inside of this man who like had like acid reflux that was like burning the chip.
That's not what happened.
How long has he had that in him for? But yeah, like dropping on the ground from like 2 feet up.
Maybe he should have put it in one of those little like airtight capsules before putting it into his
body.
It's
a good idea.
You ever think about that?
I just did for the first time, and I think you might be on.
Something. But you put your little like memory card in.
Yes. Oh, from like a PlayStation.
Yeah.
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 Early 2000s.
Think about it, guys.
Jack is going to say, hey, Tony, look up a guy named Peter Kingsley. He's an
oil. We still don't know what he looks like or anything, do we?
He's an oil baron. We've met Peter Kingsley.
We've met him, but like there's
no
like real intel on
him.
No
crossover
at all.
Yet.
Everyone keeps being like, yeah, Peter Kingsley. Anyway, let's get to the bottom of this.
Even through these two episodes, I thought we would get like some Peter Kingsley
stuff.
It's
kind of surprising that they're like, this giant oil tycoon that's kind of the cause of all of this, and we're not even going to like Google him.
No, not Google
him. Or ask Jeeves him, I guess, at this point in time.
Jeeves got nothing. Meanwhile, Emily, the trial of David Palmer is underway. And we're revisiting a lot of the things that happened previously in the day.
Previously on 24.
You remember Ron Wieland?
Yeah.
He was the journalist.
He's kind like, of hey, seems like,
he locked me up.
You know what's annoying about it is that, like, I tend, like, especially considering the fact that you are a journalist in a lot of ways. I have a tough time
That's
with
too
their,
fancy for me these days.
Well, I have a tough time with their portrayal of a journalist where he's like, well, my amendment, like, my rights were violated.
Yeah, this is
and
all
I'm really
not,
upset.
Whatever.
And
this like, is not great. It's not
and
great.
And, like, David's like, cool. Do you think you're more important than hundreds of thousands of people?
All of this is like sort of strange and weird and not fabulous.
It's like a real reach, it feels like.
It's like, I threw you in jail because you weren't being a good guy.
And he wasn't even in jail. He was just like detained.
He was just
in
detained.
Custody.
He was able to get out in time to make it to Washington, D.C. for coffee and donuts. So he was in the room with
Vice
President
Didn't he have
Prescott.
Like a delicious snack while he was there?
A cruller.
Like, yeah.
I think he had a cruller.
No, but like.
Oh, no. He had a nice little bin of Lynn Kresge's that they gave him on the house.
R.I.P. I don't know if she's
alive. I choose to believe she's alive. Okay. I choose to believe she's
but
alive.
But no, I think
whatever.
It's like
David's
a very...
like, I had a legal precedent to do this. Next. Bring me the next guy.
Yeah, like if that's like sort of like the salacious thing that happened.
Then we're going to be fine
it
here.
It feels really ridiculous.
Like, this
yeah.
is going to be fine then. Meanwhile, at 4:20 in the morning, Jack Bauer's at his laptop. Big mood is what I have in my notes. So it turns out that the chip is totally busted up and it's just not going through. And he's just like, ah, major damn it energy. Meanwhile, Kim Bauer returns to the narrative. She calls Tony Almeida.
And she's
from,
like, hi, I'm here to be a thorn in your side. Is my dad available?
Did you remember me? And so she calls in and Tony patches her into Jack. And we have like a very brief, you're alive. I know. Sorry. It's just taking us so long to even talk about that. This is very good for Jack.
Yeah.
Emily says at this point in time while watching, she impersonates Jack Bauer and says, that was great. This is just the meal I needed to get through the rest of the day.
It's true. We love to see a little light, you know, like
sure.
a little lightness for him.
But obviously, that's only going to last so long. At the trial of David Palmer finally calls out Mike. There's a lull in the trial, and so he has a moment to
Which
speak
is
with Mike Novick.
Also crazy because I was like, is everyone watching while he says this?
Oh, it's possible that it was a hot mic.
Yeah.
With Mike Novick. I'm sweating. Can I unbutton my top button? That's unprofessional, Mike. David
says, your David's, interpretation of a hot mic.
David says to Mike, you knew. All this time, you knew. You were never on my side. You were with Prescott. And Mike says, I'm on your side, David. And I always will be. This could be a good thing. A chance to correct a mistake of historic proportion. David, I'm begging you, reconsider. And President Palmer's looking at him and goes, I'm the president, Mike. You don't call me by my first name.
Which is
and
like,
it's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that meme of everybody going, oh.
Yes. Everybody falls in.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that scene isn't fire.
It's
That's
so good.
Fire.
It's
that stuff
good.
Holds up. That hit real well today when I watched it. I was like, I forgot about that.
That was, so I couldn't remember exactly when that played out.
Yes.
And I almost brought it up, but I was like, I know he made a note of this.
Oh,
I know he'll
course.
Bring it up at the right time.
So good.
Yeah.
So great. So that's Woo. Like, no matter where this goes next, like, these two aren't going to be exchanging Christmas cards for a while. It's going to be a minute. Back at CTU, Chappelle is just still angry with Tony for, like, continuously getting involved with the Cypress audio. And he's like, listen, Jack has found the thing. He's coming in. 15 minutes. Just 15 minutes. Call the president. And so Chappelle will call the vice president. Like, okay, I guess, like, this evidence is allegedly coming.
This is like one of those moments where I was like, okay, so Chappelle does have it in him to kind of like pony
well,
up.
He's like, all right, well, if it's going to be here and I can, like, if you're telling me I can call the president in 15 minutes, then I'll just like say that. That's 15 minutes. That's not unbelievable. But after that point, there is, like, when you're thinking about it in like the relative scale of like this insanely accelerated timetable, I guess that there's a degree where it's like, Chappelle has all of his top experts telling him that this isn't
real.
Yeah,
you have to kind of, like, you know, take a sample of like what everyone's saying.
But you can afford one measly helicopter. You can have like three people on the Bauer case. Like, that is kind of ridiculous.
Do it now before oil prices
Come
go
on.
Up.
So do it now. Roger Stanton, Harris Yulin himself, the Scolari brothers.
The effing worst.
He comes back in.
I hate him. He's so obviously such like a scoundrel.
In a bath.
It makes me
like,
so mad.
Sorry, you have to see me like this. You see, I was tortured for several hours.
Like, F you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
After he hit me many times in the head with a hammer, I had to give it to him. I had kids. So Roger is going to lie about how all of that went down.
All of it.
And like, we're going to see the footage of the torture.
But then it gets cut off.
But it cuts early after.
I stood up at that point. Do you remember this?
Yes. Yes. Roger says we knew about the bomb on the tape. And then David says, enough. Look at that. Booyah. And everyone's like, I don't know. I'm not convinced. Roger Stanton even's like, what do you want from me, David?
There's
I was strapped
so many sources,
to a chair
yeah.
with thousands of volts of electricity coursing through my body. That's a direct quote. A direct quote is, I was strapped to a chair with thousands of volts of electricity coursing through my body. That's what he says. Also, there's no rest of the tape. That's the tape. It's been edited. And so David, who has just dressed down Mike Novick, turns to Mike Novick and says, Mike, back me up here. And Mike,
And Mike was like,
oh, that's the backup. Yeah, not bad. Spontaneous dugging. Not our best, but not our worst.
You went so much faster than I was going.
Yeah, we were really out of rhythm, and that's absolutely my
fault.
But then Mike does not supply that backup. Mike's backup is worse. Mike's backup is, I only know what the president told me. I wasn't in the room.
It's enraging.
You are a little piece of paper just folding over.
Well, this
for
is
everyone.
This is where I stood up and left the room, you know, actually to get like chapstick, but I was really mad about it. Josh was like, "Where are you going?" And I was like, "I'm just getting this chapstick, well, but I can't believe this.
Things
this is unbelievable."
Were occurring, Emily. So David Palmer is just like livid with all of this. He says, like, I've been acting extremely in the face of extreme events today. You guys aren't giving me the benefit of the doubt. I'm trying to save lives here. And he keeps monologuing for a bit. And then the vice president says, okay, I just got a call that your guy, Jack Bauer, is going to be on the phone soon. So maybe let's just cut to commercial break. And we'll see how this is going. It is around this point in the episode that Emily Fox says out loud, you say, I think I'm going to give this episode a B-, is what you said
that.
At that point in time. I don't know if that's where you landed, but you were a little like, I think a lot of this is you were upset.
Yeah.
You're both like a combination of like, oh, this is a little bit boring, and also I'm upset.
Yeah.
I think is where
you were. It didn't feel like we pushed the narrative along in a way that felt, I don't know, nuanced and productive. Instead, it was just like, here's a way we're going to drown the one person who should be credited with potentially, you know, making sure that the world remains a little more intact.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Instead
like the fact that he's not like jumping to
David
war.
Palmer, guys.
Yeah. Like he's not jumping to war right away. He wants to like verify that this is legit.
I'll also note that when the votes start happening of like who thinks he should stay in office, for whatever it's worth, Secretary of Defense is like, yeah, I think he should still be the president. It's like, you know, like that feels like an endorsement of like, let's not just like start killing people.
But it's just enraging to me because there are so many people on, you know, voting side of things that are like, you're an upstanding man. Like, I care about you deeply, but like, I actually, you know, I'm just like part of this like big political move.
I'm part of the coup.
Yeah. And
so the problem, David, is I am part of the coup. So gotta vote.
And it's just so, it's really heartbreaking.
It's upsetting.
Because like we've watched it enough with Sherry.
Yes.
With other people who clearly don't want him.
David can't catch a break. Everybody always is coming after David Palmer.
People are being like real jerks.
Yeah.
It makes me upset. I want him to succeed. He's a good president. He cares about people. It's so clear that he does. Even if Roger had to get, you know, like
I do think a big piece of this, though,
hilariously tortured. I mean, it's not hilarious, but it is kind of funny to think about.
David Palmer, like in reviewing the tape, you know, the character can often be rather problematic. And some of the things he does aren't that great. But Dennis Haysbert just plays him with such sincerity and conviction that you just want to believe. You know, you really want to believe, and sometimes, like, even in spite of, like, probably what I would normally be thinking in the face of some of the things he does, like, you're just so good at this, and I just like you a lot, and you do seem, like, very honest. You really wanted to save Dr. Ferragamo, you know, for instance, and so this is very tough. This is very tough. So they're going to have the evidence anyway. Jack Bauer's calling in a few minutes. First, he has to consult Kate Warner. So he's at Kate Warner's house and she's crying. She blames herself for the entire day. Mm. And Jack says, it's not your fault, not the entire thing, just your section of the storyline. The rest of the show has had other moments of highs. You're fine. And he says to her, he says, because she says, this is my sister, I should have known. And Jack says, listen to me. There are things in this world that are out of our control.
Listen.
Sometimes we like to blame ourselves for them to make us feel better. It's so deep. It's a very deep moment.
I actually really felt this moment.
Yes.
Genuinely. Where I was
Kiefer
like,
Sutherland sells it.
I was like, oh, every once in a while, the show can be really on point.
Yeah.
I wish they had more talk like
this. Sometimes when Kiefer gets a moment, remember in season one, maybe you don't, but remember when he and Rick are in the water tower? And he tells Rick that, like, part of getting a second chance is, like, making up for the thing you screwed up in the first place.
Yep.
Remember I told you how much I loved that as a kid? I was like, wow, that's profound.
Like, there are moments like that where there's, like, a little bit of levity.
This is one of those, too. I don't even know if it's levity. It's more like there's, like, these, like, nuggets of wisdom every once in a while. Like, some gravitas, I think, is the word. I think that's what you use it for is a moment like this.
But,
and Kiefer Sutherland's, like, he's kind of, like, he's been through some shit, Jack Bauer. And so he plays that.
But doesn't that make you wish that there was more character development rather than them responding to, like, insane events every 10 seconds?
It's a mixture of, like, the times that this show was created in, I think, in a large part, like the people who were making the show, but also the format of the show drives a lot of this too. You have to fill out 24 full episodes, generally hitting almost all of that real time other than commercial breaks.
Do you think you could do a better job?
Not with 24 episodes, no way. No,
why
it's
not?
Really, well, I don't know, maybe.
You could do really in-depth character development. And crazy things happening.
It's early 2000s. This stuff is like...
But you could do it now.
Well, wow. No interest. I'm happy to have this as a relic of the past. It's been really fun to go back and look
at. The next Bel Air.
But Jack says that, you could tell he's like kind of talking to himself, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like maybe we have to remember, he's still reeling from the death of Terry Bauer.
Yes.
Is a big part of Jack Bauer's whole thing today. And when he's saying this to Case, is that it wasn't your fault, he's hearing what he's saying, and what he's saying is as much to himself as it is to her.
Yeah.
So that's nice. What's weird is that they've known each other for 12 hours, and he's already stroking a bang out of her face.
Exactly.
CTU calls and interrupts and says, hey, so the audio file is dead. We don't have it.
He's I hate this
shit.
Part, too. Like, that's what's so frustrating about this episode. It's like nothing went well.
This is what I told you. It's a game of telephone, right? Like, it's hot potato. It's just like, always kicking the can down the field. It's what we got to do. And so Jack says, okay, well, do we have any leads? Michelle says, yeah, I know hacker code. Like, I know when hackers give their signatures.
I don't know
found
if you've seen the movie Hackers, but I've watched it.
But I've seen Hackers.
And I know one.
So there's junk code, a signature from one Alex Hewitt in Laurel Canyon Boulevard in North Hollywood.
And do you remember what I said?
He said, not Laurel Canyon again.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened with Kim and Terry once upon a time. Anyway, so Jack says goodbye to Kate. And she says, be careful. And he says, thanks, I will be.
And then we cut to 4:45. Is this the last time we see Kate? And Josh goes, no.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And I said, I'm sorry, no. we're mostly done, but you know, not all the way. So Jack is going to phone into the meeting, and he's going to tell David Palmer the bad news about the chip, but also that he's got a lead, and he's chasing it down, and he's got a name of a guy, and all of this stuff. And it's kind of like David doesn't want to hear this almost. Because he knows if he has to like hold this line, this is probably going one way. But he also wants to hold up to the truth, so he's holding up to the truth. And he asks Jack, he says, are you absolutely convinced of this, Jack? And Jack says, absolutely. And David Palmer's like, shit. Okay. Well, folks, bad news. Jack Bauer found the chip, but it's broken, and we don't have evidence.
And everyone's like, cool, so you're gone.
Everyone's like, so then you're good with the attack. He's like, I'm still not good with the attack.
Yeah.
And Mike tells him that Bauer is an illusion, a mirage. Please walk this back. A lot of people are going to die. And so David's like, no, let's just do the vote. We'll do the vote. And so there is this great little program of these numbers that get processed, and the yeses and the noes, and it looks utterly ridiculous, Emily.
Yes.
It's this laptop. It's this chonky computer that Mike is operating. He's like, all right, well, I didn't want to have to do this. And he unlocks this chonky laptop that has the program. Where it's like, now I have a program in front of me that's going to tally everybody's yeses
but it's
and
like
nos.
These incredible graphics. Like, it's not just like a spreadsheet. You know what
it's
I mean?
So OTT. It's
what does
like
that mean?
It, over the top oh, box. Okay. It's like it's like in Tournament of Champions, the randomizer that Guy Fieri spins. It's like as ridiculous as that. It's like just like these huge apparatuses
well,
on the screen, well, on the computer screen.
Yeah, it's like these
that look like
weird
they were from
chunks.
Like 1997 AOL.
Well, it looks like almost like a tortoise shell piece.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like randomized, like geometric, like trapezoidal, like yeses and nos, right?
Yes.
But the music that's playing while he's doing it is just so intense and building. Like
yes.
There's so much like dread to it. And I'm like, he's literally like cataloging votes.
Right.
He could have a legal pad next to him that just had people's names and he could be checking it off with a pencil if he needed to. No one would like hate him for that.
No, they've got a program.
But instead, it's like this
in.
Really weird graphic design
yes.
program.
They have to use that.
That makes zero sense. And it's not like it's something that was, oh, I don't know, created in a way that the masses understand, like an Excel spreadsheet.
Sure.
Or like even FileMaker or something like that. Or like a
FileMaker
Word
doc. Would be dope. Yeah.
You know, it's like this weird like thing
it's
that
great.
No one recognizes that has weird font and sizing and like would never translate to real life and would never be created in a way.
So these are the results.
It's so weird.
These are the results of the votes. They could have just gone up to an urn and cast their ballot, and then Mike Novick would go and say, "I'll
tally
the votes."
He could
have
had a tiki torch, and it would have made much more sense.
Yeah. And so, if anyone has a hidden immunity idol, now would be the time to play it, is what Mike Novick says. The Secretary of Defense votes in favor of David Palmer, and then the Secretaries of Agriculture and the Interior vote against David Palmer. And then the Secretary of State is agonizing over this vote. He's the guy in the airplane. He's just sitting there. Where is he flying to, this man?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. He also says, he has great service for an airplane
flight. He does. He says, David, I've never met a man I respect more than you, Mr. President, but a lot of lives on the line, and I'm feeling a lot of peer pressure. I'm going to vote no. And so David Palmer has been removed from office. He's going to have a chance to appeal in 4 days. In the meantime, please hang up your coat in the armoir. And he is forced to leave to go to a holding room. And Dennis Haysbert milks this for all he's worth. He just stays in the room. David Palmer for like a sustained minute and just stares down every single face on the monitor and Mike. And even Agent Aaron Pierce is like, man, I really don't feel great about this, but I got to do my job and get you out of here. My hands are tied. This seems like it was kind of by the book, or at least it says to do this in the script. And so he does take him out, and the vice president is sworn in. The episode ends, Emily, the first of these two episodes ends, with Jack Bauer reaching the house of one Alex Hewitt. And the apartment is empty, and no one is in there, and it seems like it's been tussled up. And it's dark. There's no lights on.
Mm.
But then Jack, in the apartment, hears something. It's an elevator. Someone is coming. And there is a bodyguard who walks in. And then a mysterious woman walks in behind him. And she says, Alex? And then the lights get flipped on. And it's Sherry Palmer. What is she doing at the apartment of the person who is responsible for forging the Cypress audio?
And you
Huge
know.
Huge twist.
You know what I said there.
Oh, you said, no. Like, no.
I said, no, it's Sherry.
Yeah, you did not love it.
Of course.
You didn't love the return of Sherry Palmer. But it is happening. It is happening in a big way. We'll talk about it a whole lot more. In the next episode, on the other side of the commercial break, first, Emily Fox, ultimate letter grade for episode 21 of season 2.
All right, fine. I give her an A-.
An A-. What boosted it up, ultimately? Some good Dennis Haysbert, some wise words from Jack Bauer?
Yeah. Okay. I don't need to be, like, too much of a 24 snob here.
Okay.
But it was not my favorite episode.
Not your favorite episode. That's totally fine. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to talk about the episode that is Emily's favorite episode. I actually don't think it is.
No. it's certainly not.
But a lot of ridiculous things to talk about come in episode 22 on the other side of this commercial break. Stay tuned. All right, and one commercial break and a donut later, we are back. It was raspberry glazed, for anyone who wants to know. Emily, it was really good.
Was it?
Yeah, it was quite good.
Mm, where'd you get it from?
It was like a little chocolate cake donut with a little raspberry glaze.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry. I got that from the Washington, D.C. meeting where we were voting out David Palmer.
Ah,
yeah, they were serving donuts already, so I decided to go to the East Coast meeting. It's nothing personal against Mr. President, but did need the donuts. Okay, so let's get back into it, Emily.
Yes.
Sherry Palmer is here. This is the big episode that gives us a lot of Sherry Palmer. This is sort of an event.
Do you remember what I said to you? I was like, this is the best she's ever looked.
She looks fantastic.
She looks so polished.
She really does. And I would agree with you if not for the fact that I'm old enough to remember when she wore the detective costume when she clandestinely met with Lynn Kresge in the night. and that was her best look. But this is her second best look.
Okay, fine.
Second best look.
Okay.
It's an event. It's Jack Bauer and Sherry Palmer. That's not really a character combination that happens very frequently.
But we
ever.
Love it.
So, you know, this was kind of exciting at the time. I remember being like, oh shit, okay, Jack and Sherry. And the Jack and Sherry stuff in this episode, I do think is just like two people who are exceptional at their respective skill sets.
Doesn't that sound like such a like cheap drink you can order? A
Jack
and
Sherry?
Sherry?
Oh, that's disgusting. Which is diluting which? I don't know.
I don't know.
That's maybe the problem.
Equal
is that Jack
parts.
And Sherry don't mix well together.
Equal parts Jack and Sherry.
And we're seeing that happen here in the 5 to 6 a.m. hour. So we'll talk through just how well Jack and Sherry intermingle. As Sherry's bodyguard is just strolling around Alex's apartment.
Bodyguard.
Well, ex-Secret Service, bodyguard.
My bad.
Who is terrible at his job because Jack Bauer is lurking in the corner of the apartment in a not-so-subtle way. And the bodyguard's like, I see nothing here. Better go outside and check the parking lot. And so he's going to go and do that. And Sherry is going to be alone. And the demerit to Jack Bauer is that he doesn't step out at any point during any of that while Sherry is alone, being like, Sherry Palmer, what are you doing here? And who is that guy? He just stays hidden the whole way through. I guess ultimately it's fine. We're gonna get more to that in a little bit.
No, but like I'm really impressed by like the entire scenario where you're like, okay, cool. Jack sees her.
Yes.
He understands the gravity of the situation. He knows that he's gonna make this call. I think this is the thing we were like kind of hoping for in the last episode.
Indeed.
Like what's gonna like break?
Yeah.
What's gonna be the thing that like allows him to move forward with this?
Because Sherry.
He's been going out on a limb so many times in this particular season. And I mean, I think that that's just kind of like the gist of like Jack Bauer as a character. But we're in a strict timetable.
We're burning out of time, folks. This is the antepenultimate episode of 24 season 2.
David Palmer is about to be like,
he just
kicked
lost
out.
The presidency.
We have jets traveling towards innocent countries that we will not name because we don't know what they are.
And the vice president is like, but they're still up in the air. And they're like, yeah, they're still up in the air. He's like, that's terrific. Great.
I hate it.
We're going to push forward with the attack.
But it's like this breaking point of like, okay, cool. So he sees everything that's going on.
Yes.
He knows that he's going to have to stop this. And then he like, I don't know. He just like, he's so good at what he does.
Yeah. Sherry shows up. He's like, oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
This is going to be good.
He's like, I got this.
It's just going to be great scenery chewing that is going to occur between Penny Johnson-Gerald and Kiefer Sutherland. Mm-hmm. Very good stuff coming our way here.
All right.
Mike Novick comes to David Palmer. I'm going to need your key code.
Doesn't he look flush?
He looks embarrassed.
Like a hot Mike.
He's a hot
like a little,
Mike.
Like a little sweaty.
He's like the, what was it in Inside Out, the angry one that just like sets his head on fire? That's Mike Novick right now.
But he's like not really copping to the fact that he's a bad guy.
Not really. So David is like, how long am I going to be detained for, Mike? And Mike's like, well, first of all, it's been 3 minutes. Just so you know how long you've been detained versus how long Ron Wieland, your new best friend. That's right, David. You didn't want to be my friend.
Ooh,
makes that clear.
That's what it is.
So Mike says he's going to be detained for a few hours until Prescott announces what happened about the bomb and their retaliation and the fact that he has ascended the throne. And this is probably, I don't know why this is the moment, but this is the one that makes it so clear to me that Mike Novick is the bad guy here, where it's like...
He goes, huh, rump.
Where it's like, man, people across the country are going to wake up and you think they're going to be feeling safer because you threw a coup on the day that a nuclear bomb went off? You think that's going to be good for anyone?
Uh-huh.
So the whole thing is trash. And he takes David Palmer's card. He says, this belongs to Prescott now. Give me your wallet.
This belongs.
Yeah, he takes the wallet. He only takes the card out of the wallet. But David Palmer's staring Mike down the entire time.
But they do like a card check. Do you notice that?
Yeah, they check the card just in case any chicanery was occurring. At CTU, Chappelle says, everybody listen up. I suck.
I'm not listening to any of the warnings.
Big news.
I'm just going to go along with President
Prescott. He tells them about David Palmer, and Tony's like, well, that's some bullshit. And he's going to be like, why does no one want to believe Jack Bauer? And everyone's like, whoa, Tony's really getting mad. He's like, yeah, I am. I'm pretty upset. I had a couple of bad hours there. I forced Jack into a position where he had to break his ankle, and then I confronted Michelle right outside the bathroom and asked her, why do you bring a cell phone to the bathroom? But outside of that, I'm a pretty upstanding guy, and I'm pretty upset that no one wants to give Jack Bauer, the most capable character on the show, the benefit of the doubt. And now what? We're dethroning presidents over this? This is madness. And everyone's like, Tony, breathe.
He's had a couple of bad hours or Bowers. Have you ever thought about that?
No. Do you think that's why he's
called
Bauer?
That's why I'm podcasting about this, Josh. I'm here.
Was Jack Bauer named such because they combined bad hour to Bauer?
Yeah.
Pretty good. It's pretty good.
Thanks.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Tony's pissed off.
Yeah,
and Chappelle's
as
like,
he should be.
And Chappelle, I do think like there is like it, I'm
there
torn
are small
here.
Moments with Chappelle where I actually
no he sucks too. I mean they all
suck,
man.
He's terrible. But I do think he's like, oh okay, like that does seem like a lead that's worth following. But I think one too many times he's like
Bauer's
nah,
chasing ghosts. Sometimes hunches don't work out. Can't put it any simpler than that, Tony. And like I get it to some degree, but Tony then says to Michelle, says, "All right, I'm gonna need to find someone to talk to about all this. I'm gonna talk to someone in Prescott's office." And she's like, "He's not gonna like that you're still doing this." Like I know, At Alex Hewitt's apartment, Jack steps out and says, "Stop right there," which you could attach to the Wand Off theme song. And he pulls a gun on Sherry's bodyguard first, who he gets down onto the ground and then knocks unconscious. And I don't think that anything else happened to him. Does he just sleep through the rest of the episode?
Yeah, he's like a non... He's not even a problem at all.
He doesn't exist in the rest of the episode?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I don't think he ever wakes up. I think that guy is just like stone cold, flat, knocked out. And that's it. This is a very strange
it's
way to
nothing.
Deal with this.
Like people showed up and they said it's not even a problem at all.
So Jack holds a gun on Sherry Palmer.
And she's
which,
like, what do you want from me?
That's fairly wild that Jack has a gun on Sherry, I feel like.
But also, like, she's not backing down.
No, she's not. She says, I'm trying to help David. He asked me to come here. And he's like, I don't really believe that. And neither do we, frankly, because we've seen Sherry before. And this doesn't feel like anything we've seen over the last couple of hours would indicate that David secretly called Sherry to help on his behalf. So anyway, they're talking all of these things and like, they're both like sort of like posturing at each other. And
that, I feel like that's like a continuous theme throughout the entire episode.
Yes. But one of them has a firearm and that's Jack and he shoots at her.
I thought he hit her.
Emily freaked out. You're like, did he do that? And you were excited about it.
I needed her to get maimed ever so slightly.
Well, by the end of the episode, you get your wish.
I know. Just to like knock her down a peg or two because sure. Like she just has such an incredible
yes.
reach
yes.
with
she,
people.
She sure does. So no, he just shoots past her just to like flex, to be like, I could do that. And it's like, oh, geez. This is escalating. Everybody just needs to sit down and have a Lynn Kresge and talk this through. meanwhile, Jack realizes that he shot through like a false wall. And so there's a dude who's been in the apartment the whole time.
Well,
and
no, we're seeing like shadows through that one
right.
bullet hole. So
yes.
He's like, huh, that's weird.
That's the guy I'm looking for.
It's
and
probably
indeed,
the guy.
It is the guy he's looking for. That's Alex Hewitt. And he comes out and he's all
and he kind of looks like Pete Davidson.
He reminds me more of Jeremy Sisto
Okay, so if Pete Davidson and Jeremy Sisto combined, got together.
Yeah, and morphed into one singular person. Without perhaps it's Alex
any
Hewitt.
Of the deep voice of Jeremy,
no,
Jeremy Sisto.
No, but the actor whose name I'm blanking on, who plays Alex Hewitt, I was doing some looking into his filmography. There's a lot of voice work.
Name is Jeet Misto.
Jeet Misto. Oh, because that's the combination of the thing?
I don't know.
I don't think that's actually his name. That'd be hilarious if it was. If it was Jeet Misto, did you say?
Yeah.
Jeet Misto was the name? Rick Wasserman is the name of the actor. Don't laugh. That's not nice.
No,
Rick Wasserman.
I'm sorry. I was just so far
Rick
off.
Rick Wasserman. Oh, man. Okay, so this is going to be tough, Emily.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you why. So this is going to be challenging because I'm going to tell you something that's true and you're not going to believe me. And I don't know how else to convince you. This is why we invented the safe word Ferragamo,
okay.
Remember?
All right.
So when I say Ferragamo in the context of worst day ever, I'm not doing a bit. I'm telling you the truth.
Okay.
You are going to have
I'm ready.
To believe me.
I'm ready. Hit
so
me.
Rick D. Wasserman, who plays Alex Hewitt, has a lot of voice acting credits, has been in, you know, a decent amount of TV.
You tell me he was
and,
in The Lion
and
King,
movie,
I'm going to lose
and
my mind.
And video games.
Okay. Is he in The Lion King?
He was he's also done a lot of stage work. He has a lot of theater credits. And one of his theater credits is The Lion King.
No!
And in The Lion King, Ferragamo.
He's Rafiki?
No.
Okay, good.
No. He has been credited with more characters than I am with Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat and Damn Yankees. That's two apiece, baby.
Okay.
Rick D. Wasserman has alternately in The Lion King, the musical, played Scar.
Okay.
Zazu, Timon, and Pumbaa.
No, that's too much.
That's according to Wikipedia. Whether or not that's true is beyond my ken, but Ferragamo, that's what it says.
Wow.
And the reason why I had to break this way to Emily is that one time, a long time ago, I effectively convinced Emily that Jonathan Taylor Thomas of Home Improvement, who voiced young Simba in The Lion King, successfully lobbied Disney to have his co-star from Home Improvement and his on-screen sibling, Zachary Ty Bryan, join the cast of The Lion King as Rafiki. How long did you believe that for? Longer than you should have. It's a good stretch of time.
What you really should have done is pledged this to everybody listening to see who believed it.
No.
Hashtag ZTB.
Can't do it.
Nah. But I mean, it was a pillow talk session where, like, I think maybe 5 minutes in, I was like, wait a second, this doesn't make any sense.
Very strange. The pillow talk could be very odd, and that was one night.
No, Josh always tries to convince me about these, like, really insane...
I got you,
like,
on that one.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
You nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
You did. You
and
really did.
So I had to, you know, preface all of that for you.
But you brought it up earlier tonight on our
we did
walk
talk
home
about
from
it.
Dinner.
Yeah. We did talk about Zachary Ty Bryan's near miss as Rafiki.
So when I watched you just start to shake laughing before you really revealed where you were going, I was like, uh-huh. Oh, shit. It's The Lion King,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
All right.
Sure is.
Well, here we are.
Sure is.
Talking about 24 and The Lion King.
Anyway.
And it's 2022. So what are we going to do?
Here's Alex Hewitt coming out of the room. He's like, Mrs. Palmer, you said you would help me. And she says, shut up. Don't say anything. He's a federal agent. And so Jack's telling her to be quiet. And this whole thing has really escalated. And very quickly, Sherry Palmer's pretense of I'm here to save David really does fall apart.
But also, I think Jack picks up on what she's putting down,
oh, yeah.
Where she really thinks that, like, she can game the system. And Jack's like, you know what?
Yes.
The easiest play for me is to go
is
along.
Is to lean into that.
Yeah, lean in. Think, like, let her think that has control of this situation because this is how she has operated in the past,
yes.
And she will stop at nothing to get what she wants.
He's going to string her along on the hopes that she's going to get an immunity deal, and it's not really going to happen, he thinks. But she says, I'll tell you everything for full immunity, because she's like, I'm here to get some incriminating recordings of myself. And Jack says, okay, well, I'm going to call that in.
Yeah.
That's a felony. And so she says, if you grant me immunity, I'll tell you everything. And so she knows, like, everything. She
but
talks
like to, he hangs up on Tony effectively.
He does hang up on Tony,
which
like what
for
the
me,
hell?
I
does
she
know
at,
what I'm risking?
I know, and I looked at Josh and I was like, he should have pretended to hang up on Tony
and
but
left
then
it
kept
on.
The phone on.
But he didn't do that. He does hang up on Tony.
The narc in me was really upset about this.
And so Sherry says, so listen, the truth is, I got really mad at David. I brought him the presidency and look at how he repaid me.
Yeah, and I wanted him to fail, basically.
I wanted him to fail. And so I thought that maybe I could team up with some people to start a war and it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Which is insane.
But I've had a change of heart and I don't really want to be involved in that anymore. And Peter Kingsley's a bad guy. So she knows Peter Kingsley outright, yeah. She says. And she says, but if you don't get me immunity, then I'll deny all of this and it'll be your word against mine. So Jack is going to allow her to talk to Alex Hewitt because she basically says, I can convince him to prove that the Cypress audio is fake. He'll show you how to do it. He'll do the tech demo and everything.
So like seemingly at face value, you're like, okay, does this have legs? Can
correct.
We make this work?
Yes.
Meanwhile, we know that we're under like an insane time crunch because planes are
on the sky.
Way.
They sure are.
President Prescott is like, cool.
Yes.
Love what you're saying to me, like and, Army General. Like, and, let's keep going.
And newly removed President Palmer is having a bonding session with Agent Pierce. He's like, Aaron, can we talk? Aaron's like, I literally have been ordered not to talk to you. And David leans in. He's like, you've been ordered not to listen, though? And Aaron says, I'll listen. I'll listen to whatever you have to say. And he's basically, by the end of it, Aaron's like, and I'll also talk, too, because you're great. And he convinces Agent Pierce because he's like, you have a son in the Navy. Let's make sure he's fighting for the right reasons. Get me a sat phone. I need a secure line. Agent Pierce, ride or die, he's going to do it. He's going to get a phone to David Palmer. At around 5:21, Michelle and Carrie start beefing again. I guess it's been a tiny little bit before since they've been beefing.
I'm exhausted.
Uh-huh.
I'm exhausted.
And so she, like, they try to, like, you know, some subterfuge there. It doesn't really work. And then she
this
tells
Chappelle.
This is the
Chappelle, second time you've said subterfuge.
It is.
Could makes I, me think of fudge, so that's why I've noticed
ooh,
it.
That sounds delicious.
Wouldn't it be nice if we had some subterfuge?
Yeah, I think that that's a great idea for like a fudge line where
it's just like in a container that's like twirled around
no,
really hard.
No, much like subterfuge, it's like the actual flavor does not match at all what it looks like. So you're getting like secret flavors that you had no idea you've been conned.
Like a cake that doesn't look like a cake.
You've been tricked.
Like you have like a chicken on the table and then you cut into it. And
I
you
do
realize
think
it's
that.
A layer
what
cake.
Is that new cake show called? It's cake or
is
it's
it
not
a cake,
cake?
Or
is
no?
Cake?
I don't know what the hell it
I
is.
I think that they should do. What's the cake show? The cake show where the cake
yeah.
isn't a
is
cake.
Is it a cake or not?
Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
Is it cake? Is it cake? Well, we are proposing subterfuge to fully rip that idea all the way off if we can.
I'm going to write this down
listen,
now.
Netflix
and have
says, is it cake?
Tangible
Hulu?
Proof. We
are you listening, Hulu? Apple? Yep. Are you out there? Disney Plus? You want to give us a call?
Subterfuge.
Subterfuge.
It really rolls off the tongue.
And if any of you out there listening to this take this idea from us, I will have
well,
no recourse.
I'll no,
have
no, we'll recourse. Just know.
No, I'll be happy that you got it off the ground. Just give us free samples.
Yeah, that's fair.
So Carrie's going to tell Chappelle,
Endless,
like,
please.
Chappelle, this is all still happening. He's like, God, I hate all of this so much. Jack is going to call Tony and tell him what's going on. And Tony's going to tell him, yeah, well, David's not even the president anymore. And listen, just get me a helicopter. I'm going to bring this guy to you and we're going to be able to get it all done. And Tony says, I think that the president now, President Prescott, will listen if you've got the stuff, but he's not going to wait. So you got to get here fast. And Jack says, well, we've got 2 hours and change left. So it's got to happen pretty soon. Sherry is telling, Alex Hewitt, don't worry. We're in this together. I'm the one who looks after you, Alex. Do as I say, and this will turn out well. And don't worry about Agent Bauer. He's very low on the food chain.
Which is like so
catty. I love that line. I love that line. I love Sherry Palmer. I think Sherry Palmer's a terrific character.
She's such a bad guy, though.
When done well. But she's a bad guy. And so what she's saying
but she
here.
She looks so good.
Oh, God. And like, her saying, he's very low on the food chain. I just love that. Oh, that's great.
They shot her better.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I think she's great. Well, yeah. She did get shot. She got stabbed is what happened here.
Oh.
So Sherry's telling Jack, okay, so he's going to show you the tech. So get ready and be excited about that. He's going to show you everything that he can do. Meanwhile, at CTU, Tony gets fired. Tony comes to Chappelle. He says, I talked to Jack Bauer.
Right? Of like, hi, are you an important person that probably believes in the truth? Bye.
Bye. Sorry. Sorry, Tony. You've been reassigned.
Take your crutches and leave.
And he goes, reassigned? Where am I being reassigned to? He goes, I don't know. You can go home, though.
I would be like, probably yes, I will.
And you've got 15 minutes to clear out your desk and get out.
But like, can't you just go home, maybe tell Michelle to leave with you, and then like use your cell phones and call
Emily,
Jack that way?
That's not great. There are lives on the line right now.
No, you go home and you keep running the mission, but like you're able to do it from the comfort of your own home.
Oh, just like doing like covert ops from the couch?
Yeah.
Couch ops? Yeah.
Couch to five ops.
Couch ops sounds like a meal, like some sort of steak. Anyway, Tony has 15 minutes to clear out. He's like,
I don't think he did that.
He goes, fine. I don't like this job anyway.
I didn't even move anything into my desk.
He really
did.
All
those things are left over from George.
At 5:31, at 5:31.
Like, I'll take my bagged lunch that I haven't had time to eat and I'll take it back.
It was tuna on rye.
Ew!
It's really old now, but I'll still eat it.
I didn't refrigerate it.
You guys don't pay me nearly enough for anything other than a tuna on rye. So Jack is with Alex Hewitt. He's like typey, doing all sorts of techno mumbo jumbo. And Alex is suspicious of Jack because Jack was really mean to him before. He did shoot at him a few times.
I actually think that this is like a normal response.
Alex Hewitt's like, wait, 10 minutes ago you said that everything was my fault and I was a traitor. And now you're saying I'm a good guy? And Jack says, well, I kind of feel like maybe you're in over your head. And Alex says, well, I kind of don't know if I trust you anymore. And so Sherry's like trying to get involved. And Alex doesn't know if he wants to be around Sherry even. He wants some privacy with Jack. He says, she's trying to screw me over. And he says, no, she thinks you just got tricked into doing something you didn't understand. He says, okay. And so she's looking out for me and she likes me, right? And Kiefer Sutherland, as Jack Parker, goes, yeah, I think she does.
Problematic.
I always thought was something. At 5:39, and at this point.
Closing in, thank God.
At this point, it's been about an hour and 20 minutes since last we've seen her. Kim Bauer returns to the narrative. And
is she back?
She's back at the Mathesons. Remember the Mathesons from the start of the day?
I don't want to.
She's been on the run from the Mathesons. All this time later, she's back to get her stuff, to collect her stuff, and move on with her life.
Do you know what's kind of messed up?
Emily Fox out loud in this moment says, what's going to happen now?
Yeah.
You were not excited about
this.
Well,
so it's a weird way in which they reintroduce her. There's a cop with her. He's driving her. She's spoken to her dad at this point. Like, she's been on the phone with Jack. She's like, I'm just going over to get my stuff. The cop is like, cool. Take all the time you need. I'll be here waiting for you in the car.
Yeah.
And it's just too much of a linger on that moment where you're like, cool. So she can't just like waltz into this home and seemingly take her things without there being some sort of caveat, right?
Yes.
Like there's something that's about to happen.
Yes.
And then you see.
He's back. Gary.
Josh, I swear to you guys.
All right, we're going
to
have to review the footage.
If I'm correct, but like I'm pretty sure I said we're never going to see Gary again, right? And Josh said no.
I feel like if it was done that way, then maybe it was said and I didn't like quite hear you right. But I try to be really forthcoming with you when like no one's coming back.
I thought he was gone.
It's one of the big issues of like continuing to do 24 anymore because like you know the rhythms of the show now.
Yeah.
So you're able to call a lot of the shots on what's going to happen. So if you ask me a question of like if you were to ask me now the equivalent of like, so is Nina the mole? It'd be a little hard to like outright lie to you about
it
now. But I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying to like, you know, speak with you on your level and what you want to know and talk to you very candidly. Like with Lynn Kresge, I told you we're done with Lynn Kresge.
But now do I
you
believe
never
that?
See her again.
She might come back selling cookies next season.
No, she's done. She's off the show.
All right, it's over.
You never see her again. And I don't think I would have said you never see Gary Matheson again because you memorably see Gary Matheson again. But people could go back and check the tape and let us know if I ever said that.
Welcome.
Because you did think I said that.
Such an unwelcome return.
He's back. Don't worry. For just a short period of time.
Guess who's back in the mother effing house?
So David Palmer gets a sat phone and he calls Jack. And Tony is like, operator standing by. And Jack does yell at Tony, could you get this chopper here faster? And Tony doesn't have the heart to tell, I just got fired. And so David Palmer is listening in. He's talking to Jack. Jack has the proof. Also, Sherry is here, and he can only have a one-sided conversation because Sherry's listening to everything. And David tells Jack, do not trust Sherry. Trust me. That's the one thing I could tell you. And David Palmer also is like talking to Sherry. He's like, what are you doing there? And Sherry says, I'm just trying to help. He's like, I don't trust that at all.
This is a big relief, though, I think, especially for me, where I was like, thank God he's telling other people.
And
that
he's getting some
information.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's one thing when you see Jack and he's interrogating her and like kind of has a handle on like what's going on and like how to like what are my next steps. But to like speak to not only Tony, but David, and to be like, this is what's happening. Here are the people involved. Huge shock, or maybe not so much, depending on like how well you know the characters.
Yes.
But like, you know, we got to stop this.
We do.
So it's actually nice. Like, I felt like, okay, that's a little vindicating for me that like he at least was able to speak what's happening to somebody else.
Yes.
Even if Tony's been fired at this point, at least
he's still answering
the phone.
He has been fired.
Yeah. And so is David.
Yes.
So that's tough.
Jack Barr's like, you could fire me, but like, I'm still going to come to work.
Yeah, I will always find justice.
Yeah. So Kim is collecting her stuff. Oh, Tony has been listening to this whole thing, and then he calls Michelle after hearing all of that. He's like, we're going to have to get Jack the helicopter. Yeah. I'm going to need your help doing it. So they're going to concoct their whole plan, which is going to involve him and Michelle knocking out Chappelle. They're going to call him to a conference room where apparently there's no intercom because of the whole office getting blown up earlier in the day, if you'll recall.
Like, is such a negligible part.
Yeah, it happened
this
a
now.
Long time ago. They're going to chloroform Chappelle and knock him out. That seems like a line that they've crossed and a choice that they've made. But...
Yep.
We stand, nonetheless.
Yeah. Sometimes to happen.
You do what you got to do. Mike, this twerp, comes and takes the satellite phone from David Palmer and arrests Agent Pierce. And David says, it's not his fault. I coerced him. And Mike says, you didn't coerce anyone. And David Palmer says, shame on you for placing us both in this position.
Yes.
It should be you putting yourself on the line, not Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike says, I tried to be a friend to you. And David says, I don't need a friend. I need someone to do the right thing.
Yes.
Mike is not doing the right thing as far as David is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron is like, okay, sure. I get it. It's fine. I'll go.
You stay.
Kim is in the Matheson house, and Gary has broken in. He is carrying...
How did he even get loose, though? How did he get out?
He's carrying a police officer's gun belt.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yes. You didn't see him do anything to a cop, so it's like, how'd he get that?
Well, he got it from
He was never
cop.
Arrested or
he
found.
He got it from the cop in the front.
You know.
Josh.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was like, Josh, I know the answer.
Yeah. I got it, too. I also got that.
God.
Yeah.
It's like I've never seen this before.
But Gary
I think I'm coming up with
Gary hadn't been arrested. He was on the lam. No one knew where he was. He was in the wind. And now he's come back to get his drugs and his passport.
Well, it almost looks
and
like
his boxers. He's packing only underwear, it seems.
But like to me, it seems as though he like showed up to his house thinking that maybe there was like a patrol officer there in case he came back.
Right.
And then realizes later that Kim's there getting her stuff.
Yeah. So he finds out that she's there.
Because he's like there like,
yes.
you know, cleaning up. Like
yes.
he's like, okay, cool. I need my drugs. I need my socks.
His passport and his
yeah,
underwear.
Like, I'm ready to get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And then you hear her be like, hello?
Yes.
And you're like, God, Kim, why?
Yeah. So she's calling out for him. Back at Alex Hewitt's apartment, Sherry Palmer is telling Jack, that, you know, it's not the only reason, like, I don't want to be implicated because it'd be bad for David, you know? And he's like, oh, suddenly you care about David. You know, he's Mr. Palmer now, by the way. He's not the president anymore. He's been kicked out. Prescott's the president. And Sherry goes, oh, my God.
And he's like, yeah, your plan worked.
You got what you wanted.
Yeah, like, don't play that game.
Tony calls Jack. He's knocked out Chappelle, but it's better that you don't know that, so he doesn't tell him. They're getting ready to get all of this going. Meanwhile, while Jack is talking to Tony, he says, careful with Sherry Palmer. She's going to try to cut a deal. And Sherry overhears this. She's like, what do you mean try to cut a deal? And Jack says, yeah, well, you know, listen, I'm in charge now. Alex is with me. You could try whatever you want. That's the deal. But I'm not guaranteeing you squat. This ends up being probably not the best thing to say to somebody while he doesn't have total control over the situation.
Totally.
Kim Bauer then sees that the policeman is dead outside and that Gary is inside. And he comes searching for her as she runs away, and we have like a little bit of a Scream situation on our hands. And she like...
As in like what? She has the same hair as Drew Barrymore?
Oh, I didn't really even think about it. I thought about it more like sort of like it's the slasher horror movie and we're at the end of the movie. But I could see it. She also is like kind of wearing the same clothes that Drew Barrymore's wearing in that scene. They're both like wearing like sort of like white sweater
would
type.
Would it be weird if we found out there was popcorn on like the stovetop downstairs? She was like, popcorn. I just needed a quick snack.
Just
I
quick
haven't
snack.
Eaten in hours.
Yeah. It's Officer Francis, do you want some? Oh, Officer Francis. He's gone. So
he was on the back deck the whole time.
She goes and hides in the attic, and Gary comes. He says, Kim, this is all your fault. If it wasn't for you, Carl would probably still be alive.
Classic.
Probably, he repeats. It's like, gross. So even you know you're horrible.
Yeah.
Kim knocks him off the attic ladder, and then she falls through the frickin' roof because of course. And she lands on him, and yet she's the one who's fine, and he's flattened out. And she gets in touch with her dad by calling CTU, who patches her through to her dad. And he talks her through shooting and killing Gary. She says, grab his gun. And then he starts moving. She goes, oh, God, he's moving. And he says, shoot him, Kim. I can't. Do it. I can't.
But these are all the
shoot
things
him,
that like we've been yelling through the screen.
It
the
is
whole
very
time.
Meta this moment where all of us are like, just end the storyline.
Yeah, we want this to die
please.
Horribly.
And so she shoots him and he has some pretty awful final words and she shoots him. And then Jack says, just shoot him again, just to be totally sure. And so she does shoot him again and she's freaking out. And Jack Bauer decides he needs to call somebody to go and collect Kim. And rather than call anyone at CTU, I guess history is not great there, he calls Kate Warner, who is not off the show yet, but she is soaking in a bubble bath at the very least, which feels like such a, like, maybe one of the most realistic things after, like, this horribly...
No,
horribly-
it's not realistic. Nope, 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 nope. You go to bed.
I would need to relax.
You got home, you made a grilled cheese sandwich because that was all that was in your fridge. You waited for the cops
to leave.
I would
need to relax.
No, you're
too
not
stressful.
Looking like a bubble bath is like a zen like a week from now when you're really having processed everything that happened to you.
I'd bathe
it is not an immediate thing. You jump in the shower, you go to bed.
I'd bathe instantly.
Nope.
I'd be like, this was crazy. I can't sleep. Anyway, she chooses bubble bath. Epsom salts, you think?
No
Epsom salts.
It's 2001. And we don't think about magnesium.
And so Jack calls her and he's like, can you go pick up my daughter? She's in the middle of a terrible storyline and yours is kind of over. So I don't know if you can
you
help.
You seem like the one other blonde character I could call
on. She goes,
on.
sure, I get it. So she's going to go and she's going to pick up Kim. But Jack has been distracted by all of this to the point that he doesn't notice that Alex Hewitt, this person of interest, has gotten alone with Sherry Palmer, who is once again trying to get into his ear. And in the process of that, Alex Hewitt, who does not particularly want Sherry Palmer in his ear, while there are no eyes on him, is going to grab a blade and stab Sherry Palmer in the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack Bauer is going to be too late to do anything about that. And then Alex Hewitt is in the wind. He goes off into some sort of tunnel in his apartment. He's got an apartment tunnel, and he
it's
runs
insane.
Out into the apartment tunnel. And Sherry Palmer is looking at Jack, and she goes, help me! And Jack goes, I got to go find this guy first. And so he goes bursting off into the tunnel after Alex, and that is where we leave the antepenultimate episode of season 2 of 24. Alex Hewitt's in the wind. Sherry Palmer's bleeding out. Gary Matheson is dead. Kim Bauer shot a guy twice.
There's a chopper showing up.
And Kate Warner is going to have to get out of her bath a little early. I guess Emily doesn't care, but I do. Love a bath. Love a bath.
Well, what if she was in there for a while already?
Yeah, maybe she's like, I had to get out anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Letter grade for the second episode of these two for 22.
I give her an A.
You give her an A. Why was this one better than the other one? Just more action?
Yeah.
More action for Emily.
Like, Fox. Still not my favorite, but like, we got to move it along at this point.
For
right?
sure. For sure. All right. Well, we are up, if you can believe it, to the final two episodes of season 2 of 24. 4. That is what is next on the menu. And at the very least, for the next good little while, these will be the final two episodes of 24 that you and I are going to be talking about here on Worst Day Ever, Emily. So it's quite the event for everybody. If you've got feedback, anything you'd like to write in about 24, I would do it now. This is definitely going to be the final two episodes of the show that we're going to be talking about for a good little while.
Yes.
If we have enough feedback to do a feedback show at some point down the line, we're certainly open to that. Currently, that is not where we stand. But if you've got feedback, you want to send it in, please do it. We can get to it on the episode next week, or if we've got enough to do a feedback show, we will do that as well. So write in, josh@postshowrecaps.com. You can tweet at me as well, @RoundHoward. Emily is @Emilet, like an omelet, but with an E at the start. You can talk to both of us at the Post Show Recaps Patreon Discord when you sign up to support Post Show Recaps on Patreon by going to patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You can talk to us about 24, all sorts of other shows that you like, whether they are old or they are currently airing. We would love to talk to you about all of that and so much more. Emily, do you have any predictions for where this thing is going to go in these final two episodes?
It's been such a journey.
Sure has.
I'm sad to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also,
what if it's a really brutal cliffhanger? How are you going to not want to watch the next one?
Oh, that feels like weird foreshadowing, and I'm not against it.
We're not doing a podcast imminently. There's a lot of stuff in like season 3 specifically I would love to talk to you about on a podcast. We just clearly, with the huge delay that happened here in season 2, we got to get our shit straight. So it's just not the right time to do season 3 anyway. But I'm not closed off to doing it down the line. Because I do think that... I'll just say that you should probably meet the Salazars would be a fun time. We got to meet the Salazars. I'm open to it eventually. It's just definitely not going to happen imminently. But
I need to find a rival show that I know super well that you don't know.
I'm here for that.
Wouldn't that be so fun?
Yeah, I would love that. I think that'd be super fun.
All right.
Super, super fun.
But predictions for the next two episodes. I don't know. We like hopefully wrap this up and David Palmer's still the president. Tony Almeida still has a job. Jack Bauer is still considered to be like pretty legit. Kim Bauer manages to survive. Kate disappears into the ether.
Okay.
And
that's pretty good.
Yeah, maybe Michelle and Tony go out on that date.
That'd be nice. Like right away?
Where he looks at her and he goes, a cruller? And she'll go, yeah, I'd love a coffee too.
He's like, you know, I've got a good 24-hour diner that we could go to.
Exactly.
I believe they're still making mozzarella sticks if you want some mozzarella sticks.
What kind of meal do you feel like having after being away for 24 hours?
A bath.
More than that probably because, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Tough. Well, we'll see if any of that happens.
If none of it does, then like I really secure my position in being like, let's wait.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right.
Ferragamo.
We will see Ferragamo how it all goes as we return next with the final two episodes of season 2 of 24 and potentially the for now final episode of Worst Day Ever, a podcast adventure that has been 2 years in the making. We're very excited to get to the end of season 2. We hope you all are as well. We'll talk to you all again very soon.